because that's what we're going to talk about. I had to make a choice about what would I put on that first slide. And so I just started thinking, and I thought it would be good just to remind us of choices that we had on ballots throughout the country. And I put a few things up there. We have chosen a president. We've chosen senators. We've chosen representatives. Some states chose governors. There were local officials elected. On some ballots, there was information, choices to make about alcohol. On some ballots, there was choices to make. Well, I had to choose what to put up there, and I was looking for a picture, and you know, that picture attracted more attention than any other picture that I saw of marijuana. And I wanted some of our folks that, you know, think about this sort of thing to know that I was talking about marijuana. So I put weed. And I had to make that choice about stuff to put on the slide. And so here I am still making choices. Several of you are hoping that I have made a choice to be brief. Some of you are hoping that I've made a choice to talk about something that you're interested in choosing. I was thinking about Billy's sermon this morning. What if when we came to be before the Lord, the ground just shook like that mountain shook when Moses brought the people to Mount Sinai? What if all around us was fire and smoke, and the Lord spoke to us out of the mountain? What if? What if? What would it take to make your worship tonight what it should be? What choices would you have to make? The choices that are before you that are listed here are choices that somebody else is going to make for you in one way or another, unless you choose to vote. And then when you vote, your choice may not be the most popular choice. And in a democracy, generally, the most popular choice is going to win. And so sometimes we choose and we don't get what we choose, or someone else chooses for us. But this passage from John chapter 6, if you look, hey, look at that, John 60. I had to make a choice whether to remove that or not, Jennifer. I didn't get that removed on this particular slide. I went back and removed it on one, and I guess I was doing some work. I sent that information in to Jennifer, and she said, could you help me with that slide? I'm not sure that's correct. John doesn't have 60 chapters. But anyway, John is the reading for November in the Bible reading. And as you take a look at the book of John, there are lots of great passages. John 60 does not happen to be one of them. John 6 does happen to be one of them. And our passage is from chapter 6, beginning in verse 60. But actually, as you look at the whole chapter, it's really some important information for us in thinking about Jesus offering us the choice to choose him. That's it. You know, tonight, it's a great opportunity for us to choose out there, to choose any number of things. The single most important choice of your life. No matter how bored you are tonight, no matter how excited you are tonight, no matter how intelligent you are, or no matter how ignorant you are, whatever you want to say, this is the most important choice you're ever going to make. The choice about accepting Jesus as he is presented in the New Testament. When Jesus started presenting his word, he started teaching his word. People didn't like it. You ever notice that? A message that comes from the heart of God, and we don't like it. We want to change it, and we often do change it. But that doesn't work. And this Bible reading from John chapter 6 teaches us that God is going to be looking at our hearts. He's going to be looking at our lives. We have a choice to think about Jesus in these ways. Verse 29 gives us the idea that Jesus is from God. And he says in this great book, no one comes unto the Father but by me. In verse 29, he teaches us that he is from God. He is from God. And if you're going to get to the Father, it's going to be through him and through him alone. And so he makes that claim. You have a chance to choose Jesus because he is the way of salvation. In verse 32, he claims to be the Son of God. He's not just a man like you and like me. He is the Son of God. He came from the Father. He has seen the Father. He has seen what he offers to us. And we have a chance to claim him and to accept him because he is the Son of God. And those were Jewish people listening to him. And as they heard this message, they would lift Moses up, and Moses was the great deliverer. He was the great lawgiver. And the New Testament teaches us that Jesus is a greater deliverer than Moses. He was a greater lawgiver than Moses. That law that Moses gave, when we read the book of Hebrews and other passages in the Bible, we see that that particular law was not good enough. If it had been perfect, if it had been everything we needed, there would have been no place for the second, the Hebrew writer says. And so we look at Jesus claiming to be superior to Moses. Those folks came out of Egypt. It just amazes me. They saw those great 10 plagues that happened in their sight in the land of Egypt. They came to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army was before them. The sea was there, and they began to cry out, "You brought us out here in the wilderness to die." We could have died back there. There were graves that we could have dug back there. Why did you bring us out here? Moses says, "Stand still and see the glory of the Lord." And he reaches his staff out over the Red Sea, and God makes a path through the sea for his people cross over on dry land. When the Egyptians tried it, the waters closed in on them and they died. The Egyptian army, the most powerful army in the world, wiped out. We have a God, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, greater than Moses. They cross the Red Sea. They go out into the wilderness and they become hungry. And they begin complaining. Oh, if we could only go back to Egypt. Our flesh pots were full. We had meat to eat. We had everything. We were wealthy. What are they saying? They were slaves in the land of Egypt. And they were wanting to go back into slavery. They thought what God gave them was good. The manna was good, but they wanted more. But Jesus said, let me tell you, I'm going to give you something greater than the manna that your fathers ate in the wilderness. I'm going to give you the bread of life. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And so they began saying, what must we do to get this bread? Well, Jesus begins to tell them, it is by faith alone. Now, that doesn't mean that you just accept intellectually, but it does mean it's not going to be about some miraculous bread appearing. It's not going to be the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 that they saw. It's not going to be the miraculous crossing of the Sea of Galilee like they understood something miraculous happened. They wanted to know how Jesus got across the sea. They saw the only boat leave with the disciples. They saw that Jesus wasn't on it. They knew he got over there in a miraculous sort of way. But salvation is not about any of those things. It's about faith in Christ. It's about trust in Christ. It's about as Jesus is going to teach them, eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. It's about faith in Him and trust in Him. And that apart from the message that's going to be presented, if you look at verse 45, he quoted a scripture that says, they all shall be taught of God. What is it that you believe? It's what you are taught from God's Word that you must accept. It's not about just accepting some ethereal kind of faith out there in some kind of God. There is a specific message that had been taught. It can be taught. It can be believed. It can be obeyed. And you have a choice to accept that message. That's what these people were being told. And so when Jesus confronted these people, he confronted them with the choice to accept Jesus. You know, this is life. This is real life. This is not just a story here near the Sea of Galilee. It's not just a fairy tale story that we can read in a book about some kind of God out there somewhere talking to some people. It was real people like us. The little guy that had the loaves and the fishes was a little guy like somebody in this audience. Real story with a real choice. And real people refusing to choose God's Son. They wanted something different. We want something different. We get enough of one thing, we want something different. Our world is full of variety, and we want something different. But when we start looking at this particular passage, when we start understanding why people refuse it, verse 52 shows us clearly that some of them misunderstood it. How can this man give us flesh to eat? You must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood. How is he going to do that? So they weren't listening in the way that God wanted them to listen, about trusting in him, about believing in him. And some people are just opposed to it. They heard what was being said. Jesus told them about eating the body and drinking the blood. And in verse 60, there were people that said, that is hard. That is hard. Those were real people. Today, we hear real people saying, I don't think God would really expect that. I don't think God would hold us to that kind of a commitment. Sometimes we talk about marriage. Sometimes we talk about worship. Sometimes we talk about being buried in water. And we just say, God wouldn't hold me to that standard. You see, when we hear what God says, we don't like it sometimes. And we think we've got a better way and we're going to fix it. We're going to do it our way because we're just opposed to it. And some people just have a hard time seeing. And that's for real. It's a hard thing to see sometimes. When you've been taught a certain way all of your life, and those that have been teaching you have not been reading and studying the pages of the Bible to teach religious doctrines, you will have a hard time seeing what God says. And so there were people that were blind to it. When you look at these verses 5 through 13, 22 through 25, you're going to see these people looking, boy, I liked it. I was hungry, and the Lord took those fish and those loaves, and he broke it, and we ate to the full. I like that. Give me something like that. As we say, give me something I can sink my teeth into. In this case, it was bread and fish because they were hungry. And so people saw that. And they saw that as, wow, this is following Christ. We're going to get all the fish we want. We're going to get all the bread we want. This is great. And so they are blind to what God is actually seeing. And going along with that, there are people in our culture who say, I want a religious experience. And what they mean by religious experience is for some little guy to come into the building bringing five loaves and a few fish and somebody dividing those and feeding the whole congregation. That's a great experience. Or they want to think about people being able to do unbelievably miraculous things. Like, how did Jesus get across that lake? When we see something like that, if we could just see something like that, what an experience, man. That would cause me to believe. That would draw me in. It would make me be what I want to be. It would make me feel the way I want to feel if I could just have a religious experience. But Jesus is not looking for us to have that kind of religious experience. He's looking for us to meet His expectations. You didn't come to see me, Jesus said, because of the miracles. You came to see me because you were hungry and you got some bread. You got some fish. They wanted the experience, but when Jesus started trying to teach them that they must actually imbibe in a very special way the flesh of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, they didn't want that expectation. You see, when we see the loaves and fishes, or we have some kind of great experience, we're ready to make the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we're ready to make Him king, just like they were. But Jesus isn't wanting to be king of people who can break bread and feed thousands of people. He's not going to want to be the king over people like that. He wants to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to people who are willing to see what we are taught in the Bible and meet the expectation of work and service and sacrifice, worship. He's wanting to see those kinds of people, and He wants to be your king, but many will refuse the choice. Well, Jesus always, always makes following Him a choice. Now, you may have had a parent that forced you to come to church. You may have had a parent that forced you to do crazy things. My mom had no idea how hard she was on poor little me. On Saturdays, when we weren't working on the farm, we were playing ball. I wanted to play. I loved to play. It beat working all over the place for me. I don't know how you all are. You may have loved working when you were little. I loved playing. Had to work, but I loved playing. So I would go play. My mom had the audacity to call me in from the yard and ask me if I had my Bible class lesson. We did the Gospel Advocate quarterly, and you young folks don't know anything about that, but these old folks do. It had questions like, what was the time of the lesson? What's the place of the lesson? Who were the persons of the lesson? And then it would give you a little commentary and have questions. My mom would require me to number those questions and then underline the answer and put question number one with answer number one, and she would check it. And only when I finished that could I go back. You see, my mom wasn't interested in an experience for me. She was interested in me meeting her expectations because she was thinking about the Lord's expectations for me. You see, Jesus makes following Him a choice. You may have had a mama that forced you to do stuff like that. My mama did. But I got to tell you, that didn't force me to choose to follow Jesus. It's my choice. It's always my choice. I moved out of her house. I moved out from under her control. But you know what? Just like these young folks sitting right over here who still live in mom and dad's house, you still eat mom and dad's food, you still get disciplined, I hope, every now and then by mom and dad, you cannot be made today to follow the Christ. You might be here sitting in that seat because mom and dad said, you're going. Or they may have said it like this. You ain't going anywhere else until you go to church. And then you choose to go. But you can never be made to choose the Lord as your Savior. You're going to have to do that on your own. And it cannot be by being body slammed into the kingdom, arm twisted into the kingdom, or any other kind of force. It's a choice. Always a choice. In chapter 6 and verse 68 and 9, there are two statements, there are two qualities that are expressed in accepting the choice. These disciples in verse 60 had hard sayings, and many of them went away, verse 66 says. And then Jesus looks at his close friends, his closest disciples, and he said, "Will you also go away? Do you want to leave?" These people want to leave. These are hard sayings. I am looking for people to meet expectations. I'm not looking for people who have to have an experience to be with me. I want people who will meet expectations. Do you want to go or do you want to stay? They expressed faith in God. Peter, first of all, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There wasn't anywhere else to go. If you want eternal life, it's going to be through the Son. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so there's nowhere else to go. And so when Peter asked that question, he said two things. First of all, we have come to believe. We've come to believe that you're the Son of God. We see that. We know that. Peter had a conviction that it was not just about Jesus feeding people bread and fish. It wasn't just about Jesus being able to get across the Sea of Galilee without a boat. It was about Jesus being from God and expressing his desire for people to come and follow him. And they had been with him enough to believe. We have come to believe that you are the Son of God. And then this word know, and we know, this passage says. We know that you are the Christ. We've come to believe it. We've come to know it. You see, faith doesn't do away with knowledge. Knowledge brings us into an arena where we can believe. We've come to believe, have that inward conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we know that you are. And their lives changed forever, accepting the choice. As we think about life here, we look at what God says to us. We get other people to think, and I'm looking at a quote from William Barclay. William Barclay says, "In the last analysis, Christianity is not a philosophy that we accept. It's not a theory to which we give allegiance. It's not something that we have thought out on our own. It's not something which we intellectually arrive at on our own. It is a personal response to Jesus Christ. It is the answer of the heart to the magnet of Christ, letting him draw you to him. It is an allegiance and a love which you give because your heart will not allow you to do anything else." That's what coming to the Lord is. That's what accepting the choice is about. It's about you looking at all the choices in the world and saying, "I can do nothing less than accept the expectations of Jesus Christ, God's Son." If you choose to reject the Lord, I would ask you what Peter says to the Lord. Where are you going to go? Acts 4 and verse 12 says, "There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." It's about accepting the Lord. It's about you and your heart and your choice. as you think about what God offers. He offers us a chance tonight to repent of our sins, to confess His name, to be buried with Him in baptism, and to be raised to walk in a new life with the Lord. If you have done that, but you haven't been faithful, you have to make a choice to stay unfaithful or to turn again to the Lord, repenting and praying that God will forgive you. It's your choice. Only you can decide. And perhaps you need to decide in terms of a public response. And if you do, we'd invite you to come as we stand and as we sing. Create in me a clean